Welcome to the Music Matters podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Music Matters podcast. And we've got joined with us today, D Architect. Welcome aboard, buddy.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
Good, good. Thanks for coming to the show, D. Thanks for coming on board. So,
thank you for having me.
No problem. We're going to start the show with our usual question today, which is what got you into electronic music and started you on your journey with music production?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I have actually have a classical upbringing. So I was classically trained. I started playing the guitar and piano when I was like super young, like 8 or 9 years old. And then I guess when I got at the age of 15, I got my first computer and I, you know, started discovering the world of music production. I started to, my initial projects were some endeavors to like to program an orchestra into my computer without having to record them, because mm-hmm. you can afford to record an orchestra. And then I guess that is how it got me to experimenting with different sounds and then eventually discovering the world of electronic music and the endless possibilities you can do with that.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. Yeah, so what kind of instruments were you playing in your classical background?
Well, my main two instruments were guitar and piano.
Yep.
I was never a great instrument player, never. Like I never was aiming to be, you know, a performer or a guitarist or a pianist or, you know. I always, you know, had in mind that I want to be on the composer side, like in the studio and, you know. But playing these instruments helped me being a better programmer in electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And
oh, for sure.
How did like the Architect come about? Like what made you start this journey down this path of the Architect?
Well, I want to say that is the way I'm working, really. When I'm making music, I want to have an end goal, a project in mind, a bigger goal, rather than I'm just sitting down and making some random music. So mm-hmm. when I start, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I started working on like this, basically I started a new music journey, starting to work in a darker sound with maybe a bit more techno elements and always combined with classical or ethnic.
Yeah,
or even that's sort of some ethnic background. And then I guess, you know, the whole vision of the Architect's music and the name eventually came out of there.
And from the name as well, what's the connection with the mask? How come you decided to go with the mask as part of your look as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I'm part of a music. So the kind of music that I'm making, basically, it's because it's not very person centered. I'm not like a pop diva or whatever. I feel like this was an opportunity for me to get even more creative and find ways to make my look on stage a bit different, maybe to reflect the style of music that I'm making. And it makes it more bizarre to not seeing, you know, the person's actual mm-hmm. face while he's performing or something.
It's
something that I want to, that I liked when I was like seeing like bands like Daft Punk or maybe like Slipknot, or, you know, many, many people from different genres are doing this. And yeah, I was always fascinated by this.
Yeah, there's a lot of DJs around now that are doing it. And I think doing it is creating your own unique sort of structure, your own image, right? And you are a package, you're an image, you're a sound, and that's really cool, man, that you do that.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I feel like if I am remembered by something, I want to be remembered by my music and not by my face, you know what I mean?
For sure, man. And I guess, sorry, Brad, I guess kind of connected to that, what kind of sound do you feel is connected to D Architect as an artist? Are you feeling over the time you're going to go in lots of different directions? Are you sort of sticking to one genre of sort of stuff right now that you're working on, or you know?
Yeah, I know many people define me as like an electronic / techno artist right now because they've seen me DJing around clubs in London and stuff. But what I'm working on my album is not totally different, but it is very experimental. I have like maybe four techno tracks that could be played in a club.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the good majority of the album is a venture into more experimental sound, and I don't really have any boundaries right now. Like I'm honestly, when I'm sitting down in my laptop, I don't feel like my sound needs to go there, or I need to make techno, or I need to make this or that. So I just let it flow, and I always have my classical influences, which are very present in whatever I'm doing, and sort of everything revolves into around a dark electronic / like more orchestral kind of vibe throughout the whole album.
For sure. Nice. So do you I'm assuming you've got some sort of ambient stuff in that sort of area as well. Is that, do you sort of put your emotional mood or how you're feeling on particular times into your album that you're doing right now?
Absolutely. I feel like art is, basically this is what art is. This is what art is to me. It's basically a depiction of how we're feeling and what we want to express. I don't feel like we're doing art for money or for fame. We have to love it first, and it has to serve a goal. And it's, I think the, you know, art can really be like a doctor to us sometimes. And that is, it has some very, very emotional driven songs,
which
they don't necessarily sound like emotional big ballads or whatever, but they started as, the depiction of an emotion,
Yeah, Craig's touched on this before, haven't you, Craig, with like the art of music, just with like the album covers or the vinyl covers and stuff.
Yeah, not just the music involved in itself, but yes, definitely. And I guess following on from that, you know, not just to do with music, because I love art too, like actual paintings, and I'm very into that side of art myself, as well as music. But what have you got for favorite artists that have inspired you to produce or even to become, you know, more artistic yourself?
I think my number one favorite artist ever is Bjork.
Good choice.
I think Bjork is a person I'm looking up to, honestly. And what I love the most about her is that she's changing, and that she's experimenting with something different with her every album. So she's not sticking to a pattern that she found to be successful.
Yes.
And that is one thing that sort of describes what I'm doing as well. So that is why I found this connection to what she's doing. Awesome. Other artists that I love are like, I like Workshop, I like Arca, Massive Attack. And then I listen to a lot of soundtracks, and I love the work of Farrah Gregson Williams, for example, or even John Williams, loads of great, but Hans Zimmer, lots of great, great musicians there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, you touched on quite a few good.
I was going to say some of the artists you mentioned at the beginning there were on my list of some favourites for sure. And I think if I went through my stack of vinyl right now, I could pull out quite a few copies of some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good, man. That's real good.
But I mean, in the same time, in my free time, I'm listening to a lot of pop music. Like, a lot of pop music. I love pop.
Really? Good for
you. Yeah. But I'm really more of a listener than a composer of pop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use pop in any of your sounds, do you think?
I feel like all of my tracks have, because they start experimental, but they always end up having a more, if not pop, but a more contemporary layout and structure. It's more understandable. It's easy to grasp because they, I feel like they have a more pop structure. So that that is where pop is involved with my music making. Not really in the mood setting, but in the structure.
In the structure side of things.
Yeah.
That's nice, man. That's cool. I like how you mix it in all sort of together there. And that's good how you define your sound like that. That's really cool.
What about clubbing, Dee? Do you have any favorite sort of clubs or any first experiences of going into real proper club experiences to perform or even just going out with your friends? Do you have anywhere that sort of brings back some really good memories?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it's been a couple of years, but...
for me too.
I think the first, oh yeah. I think the first club I've been to was, I don't remember the name, but it was a club in Greece. And I've been born and raised in Athens, so
okay.
I went. Yeah, the first club I went to was in Athens.
Well, I would say then, a pretty good clubbing scene in Greece. I've never been over there, but I've heard there's a pretty good scene over there.
Yeah, it is getting better. I'll give you that. It's getting better. But when I came to London, actually, the club scene here is amazing too. The door is a bit of a pain always, but yeah, once you're in, you're usually for a good experience. Yeah. I love Printworks. I love Egg. So many fabric. There's so many great venues around here.
Brad actually have played a couple of times at Egg, didn't you, Brad?
Yeah, man. I know exactly what you're saying when you're trying to get your foot in the door. But yeah, man, there's some good clubs in London, yeah. And how was your experience at Egg and stuff like that?
So the first gig I did for Egg was, I think, last year's Pride. They had a Berlin set up for Pride Day, and it was packed, honestly.
Yeah.
Like if you throw a pin, it wouldn't land on the floor. It was packed. And it was amazing to, you know, to be given the opportunity to play like one of the world's best clubs, and you know, it was surreal. It was so good. I had such a good time. And every time I'm playing there, it's so good. The vibe is always like priceless.
That's cool, man. How did they react when you came in your mask? I mean, I think it's really cool that you spend the time to put the effort into making your outfits as well. But like, what was their reaction? Because I've been to Egg, and you don't see many people putting an effort into their image like yourself. You don't see many artists wearing masks in there. But how was the reaction like in Egg when they saw you perform?
It was interesting. I had a lot of people coming to me after my performance and asking like, can you take the mask once to your face and stuff like that. It was fun. I think the people enjoyed it. Like, seeing the day they're there to have a good time and listen to great music, and you know, I think they had a good time, and that's what really drives me.
Yeah.
Because
Brad.
I was gonna say, I was like, when I saw SNTS, he's a guy that wears a mask, and you know, you know, play good music, but you want to, it's good to watch as an act as well. And I think that's really, really cool. Like you've said before, you don't just want to go there and listen to the music. You want to see the whole thing, the whole picture, right? And it's really good.
Yeah.
I was going to just add to it as well. Would you say that Egg would be up there on your list of favorite clubs or venues then, having such a good experience there?
Yeah. I mean, I've been there a few times as like not an artist, and it was great as well. I wouldn't say it's one of my best clubs to go as a regular
yourself.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is top 10. I would say Printworks is maybe I think it's an impressive club. The amount of, you know, money they put in their production and the lights is like,
it's sound amazing. Systems.
It's a great experience. It's a great experience.
Yeah.
I've never been to Printworks, but I haven't been, but yeah, man, the light in there and the sound just looks unreal.
Yeah. And there are some pretty good clubs in Athens as well, and in the islands. Yeah, there's so many nice places that they don't offer like only good music, but like, you know, the greater experience.
Mm-hmm. So what clubs in like Athens are, you know, stand out to you? Like, what are they sort of similar to the ones like you've been here, or are they more beach vibe, more underground? Like, what ones stand out to you in Athens?
Yeah, I'd say a very nice summer club in Greece. It's Bolivar Club. It's basically on the beach, and it's a huge venue, and it's open. And it's every summer they have great DJs coming there, and like the vibe is, the partying vibe is among the greatest vibes I've ever been around. It's like, maybe if you ever go to Athens, that will be a place I would recommend 100%. And what more club is the Book, which is in the center of Athens, and it's more of a winter, but it's great. It plays great music.
That's cool, man. I like that. I have to check them out, actually.
I'm actually gonna, it sounds a bit weird where we've just gone from going from clubs and things, but I was going to ask, going back to production, because me and Brad are both a little bit geeks when it comes to toys and things, what sort of equipment are you using? And do you have sort of, you know, favorite things you'll take out when you're doing live stuff? Do you take everything with you that you've got, or do you use some different stuff for production at home that you don't take out?
So it always depends on where I'm playing and, you know, what the venue can accommodate. So, you know, from performance to performance, it differs.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like when I'm playing at Egg, most of the times I'm just using my using like the CDJs that they have.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would just add a sampler or a keyboard. Recently, I've been playing a lot with the Seaboard from Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
So the event I was about to do in Greece before it got cancelled by coronavirus, one more thing cancelled by Corona,
yeah.
was involving me with not only my DJ equipment, but a couple of synths, my laptop there as well, maybe a couple of modulars. Yeah, so it was... Again, it has to do with the venue and what they can accommodate as how big the venue is and, you know, how big the stage is or whatever.
For sure. But like, obviously, if you had your choice, would you take all your synths and modulars with you to every show?
Well, it depends. So when I'm about to just do a DJ set, I'll probably not. But if I were to do a live show, like more of a concert, yes, I would. Yeah, I would have as much equipment as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like creating stuff on the spot. I like playing live music. I love DJing too. Don't get me wrong, but playing live music is equally exciting. And you know, it's a different experience from the clubbing experience, but it can be equally good. And I think people can go and listen to good techno in a concert environment as well.
100%. I mean, I reminisce back to sort of the 90s and things, and there's a group back then called Orbital, and they would play their entire album live through the whole show. And
yeah,
again, that kind of, for me, that kind of production and again, art is mind blowing, right? And if you listen to their studio albums, what they played live for you was pretty much their whole studio album, but just mixed together live. It's amazing.
Yeah, same thing with Workshop. I think they are both doing DJ sets, like good old DJ sets, or you know, full concerts with like huge systems and one gazillion synths around them, and they're doing both great.
Yeah, I love their little glasses they wear with the little torches on them, the little flashlights.
Orbital.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always did. Always do. Yeah. What about synths then and modulars? What do you have any favorite ones you're using?
Well, I would say my favorite modular, which is a bit limiting to what it does, but it's my favorite, is the DFAM from Moog. for drummer from another mother.
Oh yes, that's the best one. I've got that.
Yeah, it like the amount of sounds I managed to create for my album from that synth is amazing, and I've equally created like basses or drums. It's great for distortion as well. It's like it's my number one tool.
Yeah, man, I love that machine. Have you seen the new Subharmonica?
The Subharmonicon. Yeah. I saw it came out and stuff. I saw one or two quick reviews, but I didn't have the time yet to like properly dive into it and go into a YouTube hole for 3 hours watching videos about modulars. But I will soon.
Yeah, man. I'd love to get that, the Mother 32 and all that sort of stuff. Have you ever sort of looked into Eurorack?
Well, if you mean to have like Europe set up in my studio, yeah, I would love to do that. And yeah, I think the first piece of my Eurorack is my DFAM. But yeah, given the time, I want to start building it as well. But at the same time, I want to build something that can be portable as well. Because like I want to be able to bring what I have in my studio to bring it to the stage as well.
Is there any sort of live acts that you stand out to you that inspire you for your live performances? Because obviously I play live and I see some people, they've got so much gear and you think, hey, you got to take all that with you. But like you've just said, you know, you've got to have like a package that you can carry around quite easily, but still perform with. Is there any sort of like artists that stand out to you?
Well, I mentioned Rogsov. I love the concert setup. Another artist that I really, really like the way he goes on stage is Woodkid. I don't know if you know him. So he is basically doing like, I don't know how to, it's avant pop or electro pop. It's not even electropop that is so reductive for his music. He's basically using a lot of strings and like acoustic sounds, and he makes it into more an electronic feel to it. I don't know how he does it. It's like, and in when he's performing live, because he's singing as well, he usually has an orchestra with him, small orchestra, and a couple of people like using synths or samplers or the drummer. So yeah, if I'm, you know, picturing myself live, I am surrounded by these musicians.
Yeah,
I believe in team efforts and, you know, a better sound coming from a band.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'll have to check him out, see if I can see some.
Yeah, when I come back to the UK, next year or whenever I can get back, I'll see if you're playing and I'll come and watch you perform.
Sure, absolutely, you should.
Yeah, man, I'd love to see
it. Come and say hello.
I guess saying that as well, do you have any like new mixes ready to release yet, or any events coming up that you're going to be doing DJ sets or any live performances at?
So unfortunately right now, because
of COVID,
because of Corona, everything is shut. So I don't know when clubs are going to reopening. I'm going to be reopening. I imagine when they reopen, I'm looking forward to going back to the clubs again.
I think it's going to be pretty busy when they reopen.
I hope so, and I don't hope it at the same time. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because social distancing, but at the same time, you know, it's been a long time since we have been in the proper club environment.
Yeah, man. I love the... I love it when it's packed out, really packed out.
Yeah, exactly.
You so mentioned your album then. When are we sort of looking to see a release like from that album?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have anything to announce. Like, even I don't know when this is going to be ready. I assume it's going to take me the year to finish it, because I am a perfectionist and I want to take my time and like reflect on what I'm doing and, you know, find my work. So I guess early 2021, I feel like I'm positive it's it has a good chance of coming out there. Yeah. But I think I will release something in 2020.
That's cool.
Like a single or a track or two.
For sure, yeah. So how long would it roughly take you to produce a track?
Well, I don't really know. So people ask me that question, I can't really answer because, well, usually when I have the inspiration flowing, the basics of the track I can lay it out in a day. And then it takes me a lot of days to go back and revisit it, refine it, change little things. But the main bit is there, you know what I mean? So yeah, maybe it took me 2 days to put the main structure down, and then it takes me a lot of time to really, really finish it.
Yeah,
because it's down to details.
For sure. I mean, like you say, a lot of people ask you, because obviously a lot of people that probably listen, that do produce, you know, they spend a lot of time just on the kick or just on drums, and they're like, oh man, I can't get anywhere, and they feel that like they're alone with that, but they're not. You know, a lot of producers do spend a lot of time just on one thing, and they're like, whoa,
that is our reality. It's not, yeah, a lot of people, like all producers, they spend, all the producers, they respect themselves, they should spend a lot of time choosing their samples wisely.
For sure, yeah. So do you master your tracks when you've done them?
I don't. I produce and mix. I always take the mastering to someone else, because I want to always have, like, you know, a different person. I mean, like fresh set of ears listening to the music and really taking it to the next level.
For sure.
When you're walking a track or solo, and you can be like really, really subjective. You can't really see, you can't really listen to the track anymore, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, man. I think it's good with a fresh set of ears, you know, to listen to your music. And also, sometimes they can give you a bit of an input as well. And I like, you know,
constructive
criticism is pretty good. You know, they can say, you know, your hi-hat needs to just a bit more distortion, or.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Sure.
Well, D, I'll tell you what, man, thanks ever so much for coming on the show and telling us about your journey and stuff. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that's my pleasure, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks, D. We really, really appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing some of your new stuff soon.
Yeah, what I've got to tell you is that I've done a remix for a song by Flesh Love.
Okay, cool.
And it's going to be coming out tomorrow.
Oh, right on. On what formats?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna upload a teaser on Instagram, and then a link to my SoundCloud and Bandcamp.
Is that something we could probably share on our podcast page? You know, to kind of help you out, and also just out of pure interest as well.
Of course, yeah. I'll DM it to you.
Perfect.
Yeah, man, that sounds cool.
Look forward to hearing it. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Because obviously told us your story, and it's been nice to actually hear the final product.
Yeah, she's a lovely artist. She's like very, very creative, a very nice spirit, and like some very good music.
Excellent.
I'm really happy that she trusted me with this.
That's cool. Like we say, I can't wait to listen to it, and we'll make sure we share a link on our podcast page for you, buddy.
Great. Thank you, guys.
No, thanks again. We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks again, D. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for everyone that listens in.
We'll see you on the next show. Cheers, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Music Matters podcast. Please subscribe and make sure to leave a review.